Yeah.
Right, so could you start by telling us about your character that you play?
Well, the problem with Agatha Christie is I really can't tell you very much, because that's part of the fun games.
Yeah.
Basically, I play a gentleman who arrives at this country pile in South Wales on a misty night in the true Agatha Christie fashion, having put his car into the ditch just outside the house. He comes in and he discovers a person sitting in a wheelchair there, and then very quickly discovers that he's dead. Moments later, the lady of the house is standing there holding a smoking gun, and it unravels from there.
Right.
Needless to say, because she's holding the smoking gun, she is obviously never going to be the person who did it, and just about everybody else becomes a suspect at some point.
Mm. Okay.
And then it finally unravels at the very, 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 very end of the play.
Yeah.
With various members of the audience having sworn blind that they got it the minute the play started, and others being honest and saying they didn't get it until about a minute before it finishes. And all the variations in between.
Obviously, everyone knows you from a lot of recent stuff, but I think everyone remembers you as well for the sort of great performance you did in Death on the Nile.
Well, Death on the Nile, of course, was this, I suppose, in a way, the first thing that sort of brought me out as in a larger way. I mean, I was 25 then, and it was a big movie. It was a big movie, great opportunity, fantastic project. That was a long time ago. Prior to that, I'd done some other television and a few things that had sort of just begun to kind of get my name out there, but that was the thing that really broke it for me completely, and of course internationally as well.
Yeah. And is this the only Agatha Christie you've done since?
Yes.
Then? Oh, right, okay.
And really, there really is no kind of link between the two, other than that it just happened that this was what I was offered for this 5-month period that I have out from Casualty.
And
you know, I mean, I love her plotting, and I mean, she's not the greatest with dialogue and all that kind of thing, and it's all just got a little bit dated. Of course, there's so many of those plays written in that period have. Having said that, however, playing it as a period piece, I mean, the audiences love it. There are enough people, fortunately, still alive who remember the 50s and who actually kind of enjoy harking back to that time a little bit. And of course, her craftsmanship is, I mean, she's a genius when it comes to manipulation of possibilities in terms of plotting.
Is it quite difficult to on the line side, or is it quite difficult to work on a play like that?
It is difficult to work on a play like this because particularly certain characters, because you're not really driven by the character, you're driven by the plot. Most other things that you do, it's the characterization that is the first thing that you really get hold of. And then once you know who the person is and how you want to play them and so on, then the lines very often follow suit. With Agatha Christie, it is much more of a precision exercise. You have to get all the beats right, lay all the seeds, and in a manner that is both interesting and intriguing, so you don't let the audience get too far in front of you. In fact, you don't want them to get in front of you at all. And you don't want them also to fall too far behind, because if they get fall behind, then they kind of just get bored. So it's a very fine balance between how you set out the information. And very much it is plot-driven rather more than character-driven. And then the character gets added on, which just means that you're learning all that stuff first, which is normally the wrong way around.
And as far as Casualty is concerned, it's on their website they're saying that you're going to be back in June, but when I read what you were saying, it didn't sound quite so convincing.
Well, to be honest, they may be more accurate than I. I think I've got one or two more episodes on air.
Right.
And it literally may be the last one this weekend. Then I will obviously be off for virtually the equivalent amount of time that I have physically been off.
Yeah.
So I came out of it at the end of November. 2 weeks later I came into rehearsals for this, and then I go all the way through to the end of April on this play. I think I finish on the 22nd or something like that. And on the following Monday I go back to work on Casualty.
Right. Okay.
So whatever that Saturday is my last day, and then I go back on contract on the 24th, I think.
So there was never any question of sort of moving on to other things.
So there's no, I mean, and frankly, if I did have more time, I would just do the play for longer.
Right.
but I've literally squeezed as many weeks into it as I could in the gap that I was given, and the gap was a predetermined gap. So that then puts me back on air, in theory, about 3 months after I start. So, as I'm saying, April, so the whole of May, the whole of June, somewhere in July is what I think, but it may be different.
Right.
But anyway, certainly June, July.
Okay. And how are you personally how would you be in a sort of a doctor situation? Are you that type of person, or do you squirm at the side?
No, I'm pretty good. In a crisis, I generally go very kind of cool and, very collected, really. I don't genuinely panic in those situations at all. I think I've probably become more useful having done the show, because there are things that I know about and recognize. I think I'd be even less likely to panic, and has been demonstrated. I have a horse farm, and occasionally we get people who get bangs and bumps and bruises and stuff and actually remain remarkably kind of cool about it all, which I think is good. Medically, I mean, obviously I've learned some things, but like the danger with actors is that, of course, you learn what you need to know for the day, and frequently you've forgotten it by the next day because the information is coming and going so fast. So you don't quite know what you've assimilated, and there's always the danger that in a real situation I could go from A to D and miss out B and C, and B and C could be rather critical.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And,
so it's a bit tricky, though.
Yeah.
Your Amy International Productions.
Yes.
Do you work on anything they produce, or do you literally just?
Actually, generally, I have not done very much, other than producing. Except that I did. I have written and directed. I have done some writing for Amy, and I have directed something for Amy. Mm. I have not performed in anything for Amy. That is possibly something that will change. Amy at the moment is slightly on hold because there's only a certain amount that I can manage in a day. We're also waiting, actually, for a rather big funding exercise that I've been waiting now for a few months. And if that comes together, then that just changes the whole shape of the way the company is going. So at the moment, I'm kind of just backpedaling slightly. Yeah. Backpedaling also because, of course, I've been doing Casualty, which is in a monumental schedule. I mean, I'm sure you've talked to people who do EastEnders or any of those things. I mean, it is just it's a grueling, grueling schedule. I love it, and I have no complaints, but it's very difficult to organize lots of other things, and I have my horse farm in Somerset, so that's very time consuming.
Yeah.
Then I came out and I did say that, I mean, they could literally drop a bomb on my life, and I wasn't going to budge. I was going to do this play, get it up, running, and out into the theater. So only really now that we've bedded in for 4 weeks and we've just done the beginnings of the tour, am I just now beginning to find that I've actually got some days when I can make a few phone calls and do a few things and actually begin to do some other stuff.
And obviously filming at Bristol meant you were sort of within driving.
I am within driving distance, and generally do, though, because we do work such long hours, if I am finishing up one day and starting the next, I generally just stay over.
Right.
Because it's just too, I mean, you get to be quite dangerous.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and one of the things I've found with the play is that you use this massive amount of adrenaline and energy for a couple of hours in the evening, but actually you then can't come down off that for 2 or 3 hours, and so frequently one's not going to bed until sort of 2 o'clock in the morning. With Casualty, if you do a full day, it's an 11 to 12 hour day, and if you keep that energy up and running all day, you get in the car and your energy drops like a stone within minutes.
Yeah.
So I find that anything over about a half an hour journey, and I'm seriously not doing terribly well. So an hour and a half is actually is too far to commute on a daily basis.
And presumably all the productions here, you're away all the time pretty much, aren't you?
For the play. Yes, so far, because of course this has all been the sort of the London end of it, and that's too far. I mean, 3.5 hours to Somerset from here. So that has been. We did Milton Keynes last week when I stayed with my mum, because that was again away. Next week we do Cheltenham, so I might do a bit of commuting there, more than I might be able to Cardiff. Barnstable, I certainly can go home every day, because that is only about a 45-50 minute drive. So I will commute for that. That'll be very nice. And then of course Eastbourne will not be, and Jersey will not be. Wolverhampton won't be in the South End. I have to stay away too. So I think out of 14 weeks I've got 4 that I can sort of commute, which is, and the rest of sort of London based, and I've been very fortunate I've got somewhere where I can stay, and so that's worked quite well.
And you still enjoying the country life? Are you as you don't hanker after the globe trotting that you used to do?
You know, I'm one of those people. I don't hanker very much. I'm doing what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I haven't ever really allowed space to enter into that sort of. Oh, I'm doing a play. I really, really would much rather be in California doing something, because then the only, I mean, that's the recipe to just go and drive myself bonkers.
Mm.
You know, no, I'm doing this. This is what I said I was going to do. I'm absolutely committed to it.
Mm.
Then go back into Casualty and do the same thing. And then when the time comes towards the end, or when there might be a decision coming up, you go, all right, now what do I want to do next? So in the context of that, no, I love the country life, and it works very well in balance with this life. And I go back to a sort of a different reality. And really, in fact, discard all this. I mean, the minute I get out of in the car and I'm off, then this is gone until I open the door again.
Yeah.
And the same applies to Casualty. I mean, I have my sort of little rule there. I mean, you know, while I'm in the door, I'm theirs, body and soul. The minute I go out, then I start to head back to being, you know, Farmer Giles. But and that's how it works. But you know, one day I may go back, and you know, globetrotting, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, every now and then someone says, can you come to the Dubai for the weekend? We need to discuss some business. Okay, fine. Pomp. And off we go. So, you know, it's still there. It's still part of the life, but obviously a little bit less so, particularly when now I only have one day a week.
Yeah.
So globetrotting is now driving from Richmond to Somerset.
Yeah.
That's the extent of the globetrotting.
Right.
No
time for holidays.
No time for holidays, no. Has to be addressed, this matter.
Yes, definitely.
And I read you got lots of. Last I heard, you got 6 Irish setters and various sheep and lands.
That goes back a little bit.
Yeah, I thought so.
We now have no sheep.
Right.
They're daft, and I don't want any sheep. We have a farmer who is lives very close, who actually rents land off us for his sheep. So that's as close as I want the sheep to come, to as lawnmowers. Irish setters, we have 2 now. We did have 6 at one time, but we just haven't expanded. We got a little overstocked. And then, of course, we have our Arabian horses.
Yeah. And is that going from strength to strength?
It's going very well, yes. I mean, building a breeding program with anything but with equines is actually a rather slow process, because, of course, obviously, it takes a long time before you start to really make an impact, because first thing you do is you buy something, and then you buy something else, and you put them together, and then you get your first offspring.
Yeah.
But then it takes at least 4 to 5 years before they're able to breed, and then to get them to breed with something that you've also bred, obviously just goes.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of 11 to 12 year gestation period, and our breeding program really is only about 7 years old. So. But it's going very well. I mean, we get a lot of inquiries, a lot of interest. We've won a lot of prizes and stuff. And we're being taken very seriously in the game worldwide, which is very nice.
Yeah. And is that's pretty much full time for Susan, is it?
It's right now it's very much full time. It's a big job, and you know, we have to address that to some extent. Particularly while I'm away, it becomes full time for her. And being doing Casualty, which is a 48 week a year contract, you know, I'm not around, and doing this has not made it any easier. So on that basis, she has made the decision that she'll largely stay. If I start to do things that are a bit more episodic, then that will allow her to do some things that are episodic, because I can share the responsibility of running things.
And you still get time? I read you did yoga with her. You still
we still do yoga. Yes, at the moment I do it here, and she does it there.
Yeah.
But but we are still doing yoga. Yes, very much so.
Right.
Yeah,
and
part of the plan to try to keep sort of reasonably youthful, so I can keep going at this game until. Till the dear Lord decides to call time.
And are you the cook when you're at home?
No. I love to cook, but I really am not. And that's as much as anything else, because I'm just not there.
Right.
And so I've forgotten where the kitchen is, actually.
Right. Okay. I read Susan said that you showed her first cooker, because she'd never cooked.
Well, I mean, yes. So that is absolutely true. Roles have reversed slightly. you know, she didn't really know where the kitchen was in any house that she owned for quite a long time. But that's changed, and she's very good at it.
So does time allow you to do anything else apart from, I mean, I've read various hobbies, but are you keeping up with any of them?
I mean, we do manage to do an awful lot, but no, not really. I mean, the farm is so big. I mean, whenever I'm home, there's just a ton of things to do. You know, and at the moment, I'm only getting home for, you know, barely 24 hours a week. So that really does keep us occupied. And, of course, during the you know, from now onwards. I mean, now that it starts to get busy again, because of course we're into breeding season, both from the point of covering mares and then also babies being born, and that goes on all the way through, and then the show season starts around about May, and that goes on all the way into the sort of late autumn, even with a couple of shows actually as late as, actually one is as late as the beginning of December. So that keeps us really well occupied. So if ever we do have 2 or 3 days, I mean, it's invariably to follow a horse or go somewhere to one of those events, because that's how we build up our business. So holidays and rest actually seem to be always work combined in some form or other.
And you, and you've been generally accepted within the horse industry itself. Do you get funny people that sort of?
Well, we do. We are very, very much. I mean, Susan. I mean, she's president of the Horse of the Year show, and she's now also becoming well known as an accomplished photographer. She had an exhibition at Olympia this year in December, which actually the Telegraph picked up on, and she has another big one in London in September, actually, that they're talking about. A gallery is dedicating itself to that for a whole week to her work, which is going to be great. So we have all that. No, the industry itself, I mean, the whole industry knows we're very much in it. And, you know, the Arabian horse is just one of, obviously, many different breeds and the various disciplines. But I mean, she's president of the Horse of the Year show, so, I mean, she's very much in the forefront of the whole industry, equine.
And imagine, you say, getting up to the 12 years, is that the time when you really start to make money on something like that? Is it a bit of a drain on funds up to that
point? Well, it's hard. It is hard, because obviously what you have to do with anything is build a reputation, build a reputation for quality. Quality equals value. And then you need to be selling horses at a value and in a certain quantity. So there is a natural equation. That is an issue in the way we're moving forward, and it is an expense. You know, horses are expensive. They just are. But no, we are doing well. We're now selling at about the right level. Nothing like as many as I'd like to yet, but that will now start to happen. And of course, the other thing you have to do is, just, like anything, you have to try to hold your prices. So, I mean, you could get rid of anything you want to sell. But if you really want to be known for having quality, you've also got to have it. So that makes it tougher. It means that your market is always a bit smaller.
And just future projects, really. Anything other than Casualty on the horizon?
Well, Casualty I go back to, and I'm going back to that certainly for the most of the rest of 2007, once I go back. We are actually right at that stage now when it's being discussed about what might happen after that. And I'm already discussing with a couple of theatre managements, a couple of other things that could happen in the theatre. And I haven't really decided. This kind of month is probably going to determine certainly what happens to the absolute end of 2007. But I think a good chunk of 2008 will be decided soon.
So you don't think you would ever give this up and could just strictly go into the horses and be always a bit of both?
No. No, I don't want to do that. I mean, I've worked too hard to. The one thing I think in this world, and it's all very well doing a lot of things, and I think it's fine to do that. But I think you've really got to specialize in something. And so for me, this is what I set out to do. I always felt from quite a young age that my time would be towards the end of my career, rather than, and yet I became, as you said, I mean, reasonably well known at 25, and I've sort of stuck around that sort of a bit of popularity and worldwide recognition. But I really felt that if there was going to be a big thrust forward, it would happen somewhere around about now. And so it really fitted when Casualty happened, and I then bedded. I said, right, that's it. I'm going to bed down in England for a little bit, really try and establish that, get those credentials really solid, and then see how that then impacts on the international ones. And who knows? I mean, but at the moment, there's sort of that bit of the plan is sort of working rather well, and it looks as though the next couple of years have got that in store. And then I have to decide whether I want to play safe, stay with what I'm kind of doing now, or whether I do what I normally do, which is go, no, while it's all going jolly good, I think I'll just stop and see what happens. And that might be frightfully embarrassing, but it might also work rather well. You just never know.
Did you ever try out for James Bond?
I never tried for James Bond. Roger thought I was going to take over from him.
Yeah, because you're that sort of character.
Yeah, and, you know, I was always mentioned in dispatches, but I never went after it. I have to be honest, and I have said this before, but I honestly thought that the Bond franchise would die with whoever took it over at that time. Mm. And Tim Dalton took it over, and I have to say, to some extent, it got bloody close to dying. Because the market had changed. It wasn't only about him or Bond, but the market had shifted, and it's Total Recall and all those big blockbuster action adventure, lots of blowings up and all those kind of things. They were spending double the amount of money. And then I think they made the mistake with Tim's versions of actually taking Bond a little bit seriously. So then they were a direct competition at half the price. So therefore it was always going to be a bit of a lost leader. As soon as they went back to doing the slightly tongue-in-cheek thing, then it got its market back again, and wasn't therefore competing with those other kind of pictures. And Pierce did a super job. I haven't seen Daniels yet, but I will, and I gather that's good too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
But I always thought it was going to go down, and I didn't really want to be the one who took it down. And so that I never went after it. And it was only at the very end of the possible casting things when I really did glean that Pierce was not going to be let out of his Remington Steel contract, and they were actually being quite serious about the fact that there was going to be a new Bond. I went, you know what, I think I really ought to have a crack at this. And then found out that my agent also represented Tim Dalton. When I didn't know that Tim was in the frame. So I think that I was actually kind of, I don't say shafted, but I certainly, it wasn't a good opportunity to make it happen. While there was a direct competitor in the camp who I think my agent was really pushing like hell to get Tim to do it. I mean, and for it to be him. And so therefore, me kind of raising my flag, saying, I think I'd like to enter this ring. I think at that point, I had left it too late and didn't quite know what was going on. And I have no regrets about it.
No.
At all. I have no regrets about anything in my career, but because there'll be something else different, I think, that will do perhaps the same thing. That's what I'm, looking at. I'm very positive about it. And we'll see whether that actually happens, or whether I just end up being an old actor, very sorry for himself, wanting, please give me a job. Right, it's certainly not my plan at the moment.